Well, good morning. 6:06, Kelly O'Connell Show, 10/16, 2015, 16th of October. And I've got a very strange claim here for you, which is that they're saying that the debate that you watched, or maybe didn't watch but just heard about, on the Democratic Party was staged. Debate was rigged, according to Webb. And according to other people that saw it, and when I heard that, it all made sense to me. Why would Sanders come in after putting so much of his heart and soul and cash into this debate, into this race, and come in and give Hillary a big flower on her question about the emails? Now, there is another even bigger claim that I thought you might find interesting, that I sure do, is that a supposed team of top-notch D.C. ladies decided long ago that this race was going to be Hillary's. And so everything else was sacrificed to this, and that's why they don't have as many debates. That's why they don't have as many other things going on. That's why Hillary isn't being challenged. Now, if they did rig it, would you be surprised? Do you think that that's not true, or is it just more of the same? And this story about these women, that this cadre of women that are coming together to make sure that Hillary gets in. And why are they doing it? Because she's a woman and because it's her time. Although I'd say half of this group, from what I was looking at, appear to be minority. They don't appear to be worried about as minority stuff, maybe because Obama came in, but they're going to make sure that Hillary gets elected so we can have our first female president. And so I've got those stories for you coming up. The pictures that they had of it were kind of this group of women was kind of funny, but the claim that this is all staged is a threat to democracy, obviously, is it not? I mean, if you have this group of ladies coming together who are going to decide, and obviously very powerful people, whatever they're into, I think that it is something that needs to be widely exposed, and so we can get rid of it. These group of women should be sent to Siberia. But, you know, at the same time, we've got further and further down the road to Hillary getting in trouble with her emails. Now, they say that Obama and his wife do not like the Clintons. And FBI probe of Clinton email focused on gross negligence provision. Angered officials see Obama trying to sway the investigation. So if he was really after her, I would think that he would that there would be an ongoing thing with with that she'd be getting prosecuted right now. So since she's not getting prosecuted yet, it's just still an investigation, but it's this whole thing is so strange to watch. You would think if there's any way that they could avoid it. Can you imagine that if Hillary was under the cloud of an investigation like this, that she got elected? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I've got still too much faith. Maybe I'm mistaken. Maybe there's having too much faith in the American people is a mistake. I mean, we are, I would say, not a highly educated people, are we? I mean, we used to be. America used to be famous for for having very astute and educated people that were on the cutting edge. And this doesn't seem that way anymore in terms of the education we're giving our kids. And no, that's not a cheap shot at teachers. But all right. So, and Lamar Odom, from what I understand, who they're calling Lamar Kardashian, he's brain dead. Of course he is. I mean, all of his organs are failing. And they did a test. I think I mentioned this yesterday. They did a test on him, and they found every conceivable drug known to man or beast. And he had taken 10 of these, what are they called? The revival pills, response, whatever they're called. And apparently they were full of Viagra too, so they've taken them off the market. They're supposed to be there illegal. Supposedly this guy, Hoff, who owns this brothel Lamar Odom came in with $75,000 in cash, and now they can't find a penny. But he knew what he was getting into. But they're claiming Hoff robbed him after he went legs up. So he's going to be, I guarantee you, he'll be in the ground pretty soon. They just have to decide when they're going to pull the plug on him. But how did Jesse Jackson become the spokesman for this event? I just don't get it. All right, so let's take a little break here. And 6:13, Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. 1450 KOBE, AM Las Cruces, and I'm going to come back and tell you a little bit more about this rigging process with the debate.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars. Let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars.
Okay, so there's this claim that this debate was rigged, and just kind of going into that right now. And I think that one of the claims was that Jim or Webb said that it was rigged, and the debate was softball questions. And they acted like they're going after Hillary, but nobody really went after her on these questions about the emails. Now, the emails are not sex questions, obviously, although they might, some people might claim that Hillary's having an affair with Huma Hummus, whatever her name is, Abedin. So it's not, you can't claim the result of a far right conspiracy. It's strange to see I don't know how to explain this, but it's like we've lost our way in the media, in journalism, and so people can't. It seems to me that people would have been interested in this story more, right or left. But there's a little bit of protection from the media, although a lot of news outlets have covered this. It's been going on so long. But the party itself, I have got a shocking announcement to make from the Daily Mail, which says Democratic National Committee woman says her party is, quote, clearing a path for Hillary because, quote, the women in charge want it that way. Female member of the Democratic Party's controlling body spoke to Daily Mail online in Vegas following the primary, rattling off a list of women at the top of the party hierarchy and said two vice chairs helped craft a decision this summer to favor Clinton. And the committee woman warned her party could promote Hillary because she's a woman and the risk of having her implode after she's nominated is still there. And the Democratic National Committee insisted that it runs an impartial primary process, period. But it's just going to have six debates. Last election, I think it was, or the election that Hillary ran before was 27 debates. So five times less, I guess, about. And some of the women that are in this group that are making sure that she gets into the position, Donna Brazile, who was involved with Al Gore in his campaign, but she's a top-notch Democratic advisor and strategist. Stephanie Rawlings Blake, who just embarrassed herself in Baltimore with her ridiculous comments about giving protesters room to destroy. And then, of course, the disgusting goat-like Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who, have you ever seen goat's eyes kind of go off on the side? That's what she looks like. But anyway, all right, no more cheap shots. Some of the other women involved in this choosing is Chief Executive DNC, Chief Executive Reverend Leah Daughtry. I guess she's a chief executive of the party. She's bald, by the way. Vice Chair Maria Elena Durazzo and CEO Amy Dacey. I guess these are positions in the party, DNC, but all of these women, and there's a large number of women at the top of the DNC, the Democratic National Committee, are making sure that Hillary gets elected. What do you think about that? And so the process is cooked. Now, there's this very attractive lady from Hawaii named Tulsi Gabbard. She's a Hawaii congresswoman. She's one of five DNC vice chairs. And she has complained about the process, that she doesn't feel like it's open. She doesn't feel like it's fair. And she feels like Hillary is pre-picked as well. And so she is the first Samoan, person of Samoan ancestry in U.S. Congress. And she is a veteran, and she's a very conservative, I guess, in some ways, House member. And she's pretty new, although she just got reelected. And she has been fighting them to the extent that Debbie Wasserman Schultz told her she couldn't come to the debate, and she's a vice chair of the party. So I guess it's a battle royale. But I do find it somewhat amazing that these guys have nominated someone that could be indicted. And so this call, this claim that the debate was rigged, would explain why it was somewhat boring. And that, all right, so I was thinking about this kind of laying in bed last night. It seems to me if this debate was rigged, and it seems like it was rigged because it was hands off. All right, if that is the truth, then what I think that you've got is that Hillary and Bernie Sanders have already agreed that she's going to be president and he's going to be vice president. So if you think about it that way, she's got him beat about 2-1. So I don't know what her support is, 25% now, whatever, 30%. And his is about half of that. But if those two come together, then that's an unbeatable combination. Then you've got that set up well ahead of time. And that must be what they're doing, because why else would he come out and say he's sick of the questions about the emails when we don't even know a lot of the answers to the stuff? Because Hillary hasn't been really, cooperating. All right. So they're saying there's no room for Biden, Joe Biden. There's no room. He waited too long. And so, although he might be a party favorite, he's got something like somewhere between 10 and 20% built in, baked into the cake already. So, like, that many people want him to come, and he would be their favorite. But that still doesn't mean that he would take out Hillary, and he's waited too long to get top-notch workers from each state that you have to have. All right. In addition to this, Debbie Wasserman Schultz has been called a liar, and there are questions about her leadership. And this is from R.T. Ryback, former mayor of Minneapolis and vice chair of the DNC. So I guess they do have a man on this, but it looks like it's mostly women. On last Thursday, he accused Debbie Wasserman Schultz of making, quote, flat out not true, in other words, lying statements about another top party officer. And that's the lady that I was just telling you about. This woman is the rock star out of the Democratic Party, this Gabbard. And she's very, not just physically attractive, but charismatic. And she has her own message. And so he is calling Schultz a liar because Schultz is claiming she didn't bar this lady from coming to the debate. And so Ryback has called on the party to hold more than six debates. And so, I mean, you've got to come to the conclusion that less debates is harmful for the Democratic Party, because the more debates you have, the more the process is going to sort itself out, and the more people are going to have the sense that it's an above board process. And it's obvious that the support of Hillary has been in this machine for so long. She was chosen a long time ago to win this round after Barack beat her. But he says, this Ryback says, I am seriously questioning whether Debbie Wasserman Schultz has the capacity to do what has to be done. That's why I'm calling her out, basically, whether she can lead the party. And he says she's just not smart enough. She's not skilled enough. And she is certainly not honest enough to lead the party. So that is going on. And I, you know, what I would like to know, 523-1450, if you're a Democrat, do you even care about this? Do you? I mean, I know Frankie, even Frankie got on the phone and said that he had somewhat lost faith in Clinton, but he, you know, still believes in his Democratic Party. But I mean, do you care if you're backing Hillary? I think that you really don't care how she gets there, how she gets those votes to be the leader, how she gets elected. But it seems to me that the Democratic Party is not in good shape, and somebody was telling me it's a bunch of old white men and one old white woman in the race. And do you think that a Biden could make it? You still have a lot of stuff going on in the Republican Party. Ironically, you have more. What's the catchphrase? Diversity in the Republican Party. You've got Hispanics. You've got, of course, whites, but you've also got blacks. You've got Indians and females. I mean, it is the stunning mix. You got fat guys, you got skinny guys. It's a stunning mix of choices in the Republican Party, any one of which I'm sure would be able to capably lead the party. So anyway, that's what's going on there. I'll come back. I just want to, I don't know why I'm kind of fascinated with Odom, because I don't, you know, like, pop culture doesn't really interest me that much, but he is, I guess he's brain dead, you know? But it's another man felled by the Kardashian clan. They're really something else. They chew men up, eat them for breakfast, I guess. 628 Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450-805. Oh, well, the text machine is stuck in my office somewhere. 1450 KOBE AM Las Cruces. We'll be right back. The word.
Hold my hand.
in other words, baby, kiss me.
All right, so they found this Lamar Odom guy has had a very tragic life. His mom died when he was 12 of cancer. His dad left the family because he was a heroin addict, and when the dad reappeared, he was looking for money. So he's had a tragic life. He's lost a kid. He's lost some friends recently to drug overdoses, which is obviously not a not a good sign. But they said that he went in there and that he was eating three T-bone steaks at a time and buckets full of KFC. He had every drug known to every drug in the world in the system when they did this blood draw. And so anyway, it's pretty tragic. But he's got to be brain dead. All of his organs have failed, and this is what happened: is he took these 10 whatever they're called drugs. There's supposedly herbal Viagra, which are not really herbal, and they're not, and they are, but they do have a lot of Viagra in them. And so he took 10 shots of this. He had been binging on cocaine, and his former drug dealer from New York said that we used to get him cocaine all the time. Cocaine was his drug of choice, and so Odom had been binging on cocaine before he got there. They said his lungs filled up because he was smoking crack cocaine, but he had all these drugs in his system. And what happened is that they don't know exactly yet, but they know it was a drug overdose of one form or another. So he was face down and his lungs were full of fluid. He wasn't breathing, and so he got brain damage from that. And he had a number of strokes, but what a way to go. But it just doesn't seem like men can last. They either get divorced and kicked to the curb, like what was that guy, Jay Humphrey, the NBA player, that guy, or they die, they get divorced, they die, like Lamar Odom, or like Bruce Genital. They get a sex change because they can't stand being a man. Men cannot survive around the Kardashians. Anyway, here's a little clip from Lamar Odom's final days.
Heartbreaking new details about what happened at that Nevada brothel before former NBA champ Lamar Odom was found unconscious and unresponsive. The two of the women at what's called the Love Ranch. Here's ABC's Lindsay Davis.
911, where is your emergency?
We need an ambulance.
Tonight, we're hearing the desperate call to authorities for the first time. An employee of a state-licensed Nevada brothel fearing for Lamar Odom's life.
Can you hurry, please, because he's got blood coming out of his nose, white stuff coming out of his mouth. They can't get him to wake up. He's, almost not breathing.
The two-time NBA champion Lamar Odom now on life support in this Las Vegas hospital.
The male had been using cocaine. They also informed dispatch that he'd used up to 10 tabs of sexual performance enhancer supplements.
Odom was found unconscious and unresponsive yesterday at the Love Ranch. Brothel owner Dennis Huff says he was told by one of his employees that Lamar was troubled by a call.
He did get a call. It seemed to bother him a little bit, the girl said. Something about him being on the Kardashian show and not liking the way he looked or something they said. But it upset him. But the girls worked him through it, and an hour later, he was drinking his cognac and having a great time and forgot all about it.
Odom appeared on Keeping Up with the Kardashians. His relationship with Khloe playing out for millions to see. Their marriage trouble also fodder for the reality show.
It's not fair that this is even something that I think anyone has to go through.
Chloe filed for divorce in 2013. Really, but the two kept in touch, Chloe often appearing concerned for his well-being.
I've been trying to call him forever. His phone's been off for like 3 weeks.
Tonight, Lamar is surrounded by people who care about him. Chloe rushing to his side, along with her mother and sister Kim Kardashian, and former Lakers teammate Kobe Bryant and Reverend Jesse Jackson. Shaquille O'Neal sending a tweet with the hashtag, My Heart Hurts, and Magic Johnson tweeting, I've been praying all morning for my good friend, that God will bless him to pull through. For Nightline, I'm Lindsay Davis in New York.
Kardashian has flown to the bedside of her ex-husband and former NBA player, Lamar Odom.
Anyway, the entire family has showed up over there, and quite a spectacle. But Kobe's there, and some guy said that Kobe's just there for the media attention. 5-2-3-14-50. Anyway, it's kind of sad to see this guy. He was truly a great player in the NBA. He at least had great skills, and it seems like basketball was the only thing in life that he really could celebrate. He was living in Vegas, which is, to me, is kind of a warning sign, having grown up in Vegas. People that move there a lot of times don't have any family there, so they're there to party or whatever. And he was worth many millions of dollars and always had a giant wad of cash in his pocket. He was a lost soul. He didn't have a family. His only family was this blood-sucking Kardashian crew. So anyway, we'll come back and got some other stories for you. 638, Kelly O'Connor Show, 1450 KOBE, 523-1450.
Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for.
All right, so a little bit of state news. They are saying that New Mexico is taking the lead in electing Latinos, which is not perhaps surprising since we are, I believe, the least white state out there. But our large Hispanic population is obviously spinning out some elected officials. And the median age of the Hispanic population is 31 here in the state compared to 48 for Anglos, which means that there's going to be an increasing number of Anglos here. And so there's more buying power for the Hispanic community. Hispanics make up 45% of the state's population, 33% of the state's spending. And so the state legislature is 45% Hispanic, and they say that this is the only state where the state legislature reflects the population, the Hispanic population. The federal level, New Mexico's three representatives in the House are Hispanic: Michelle Lujan Grisham and Ben Ray Lujan. Actually, two of three. The other one is, of course, Steve Pierce. And all right, so we're leading the path on that, if you care. And New Mexico Public Land Office wants more money from fish and game, or game and fish, as they call it. And so the annual hunting easement fee of $200,000 is paid by Game and Fish to the land office. And they've decided that $200,000 is too low. And so they want $1 million, a 500% hike. So undoubtedly there'll be a battle over that. And federales want to release more wolves into New Mexico. And so what do you think about that? 523-1450. And there has been a battle over that as well. So there was, anyway, I'm a little bit nervous about seeing wolves released here, not just for the farmers, but I think there's human issues as well in terms of safety. But I know a lot of people support that. All right, let's come back, and I've got a little bit on Hillary's emails. If you're not totally bored by that story, it is somewhat notable that the FBI now feels like the president is trying to tip the investigation. 644 Kelly O'Connell Show, 523-1450. AM Las Cruces, we'll be right back.
In other words, please be true. In other words, I love you.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Hey, Kelly.
Hey, hold on one second.
The judge didn't, he was not neutral. He didn't do well by me yesterday.
Who is this?
This is Deborah. Joel, he was not neutral at all.
Well, Deborah, you could hold on. We'll play that on the air if you want. Let me put you on hold.
Okay.
It is Kelly here, and we do have Deborah. And so, Deborah, thank you for calling in. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes.
I'm waiting to hear you. You had a comment on your experience at court.
Oh, yes, sir. Am I on the air now?
As a matter of fact, you are, so make the most of it.
Okay. I just can't believe these judges.
Well, Deborah, what was your case about?
The one you had advised me about before. The same situation, oppression of the poor, the disabled, and the elderly. Joel was not, last name is Cano, I think, C-A-N-O. He was not neutral. I felt that I was very unfairly not heard. He only gave me to move to 3 days on Monday. He did not accept my abatement of rent. These tenants that, my joy and peacefulness, the vulgarity, they're fighting, they're arguing. I mean, even the maintenance man exposed himself and masturbated in front of me, but it's a he said, she said, the maintenance man, the owner did nothing. He would not accept my abatement papers. The things still aren't done. I got hurt on the property. I have a concussion, a fractured finger. So it was hard for me to even represent myself fully. It was just too much for me. And I have nowhere to move to. I have no help at all.
Well, sounds like a desperate situation, but are you, Judge Cano's always been fair to me. Are you sure that, what makes you think that he was not fair to you?
Because we can legally abate rent. He wouldn't even look at my abatement papers. And Madrid had to recuse herself. That's why it was carried over to him. And I won the abatement with her. Then it was continued. She had to recuse herself because a couple witnesses she knew. Okay? And I can understand it because it was from the same church that I had left. And that her father used to attend. So he would not look at my abatement papers, the repairs that she gave him 7 days to fix. They were not fixed in 7 days. The windows still were not shut and locked. He would not look at the pictures. He would not accept it. He just said, I had to get out.
Well, I don't know any of the details of the case on this particular case, so I don't know what to say. Sorry about that. What are your plans?
Well, I can talk to a free attorney over the phone for him to advise me. Then I pay Legal Shield $20 a month for them to advise me. I'm just pleading, you know, over the air, you know, because it's hard for me to represent myself. You know, I have concussion that affects my
memory. You're pleading for what? You're pleading for what?
Concentration.
Deborah, what are you? Deborah, hold on. What are you pleading over the air for?
I'm asking, is there someone, a paralegal, a lawyer that could take my case pro bono? Because I have to sue for discrimination with this man, this person I'm renting off of.
All right. So
of equal access of the property and enjoy peacefulness in the unsafe conditions I've had to live under.
All right. Well, I'll let you know if anybody calls in to volunteer. But sorry to hear about your situation, Deborah. Good luck to you. Sorry, folks, kind of running out of time there. But not everybody is victorious at law, at court. But I've never had a problem with Judge Cano. I think he's a good guy. He's very fair. More New Mexico news. 3 new utility-scale solar facilities slated for New Mexico by the end of 2016. New Mexico will be producing another 165 megawatts of solar electricity from these 3 facilities coming online near Roswell and Deming. Southwest Public Service Company, subsidiary of Xcel Energy, serving 385,000 customers in eastern New Mexico and West Texas, signed a long-term power purchase agreement with Florida-based Next Era Energy Resources to build and operate 270-megawatt solar facilities near Roswell that will become operational in 2017. And they will become the largest in the state. So it's interesting. New Mexico is leading the nation in burglaries per capita. FBI, who says we can't be number one in something? And the city's property crime rate in Albuquerque is down 16% from a year ago, including burglaries. But recent statistics from the FBI show that New Mexico, with 8.87 burglaries for every 1,000 people, is leading the country by almost double. The national average is 5.42. And in Espanola, it's 34 burglaries per 1,000. So Espanola is on the cutting edge of burglary. Albuquerque is not nearly that bad. And a little video of a guy trying to run. It's not funny, but it's just so bizarre. Video shows man running over a police officer in southern New Mexico, Sunland Park. Is Sunland Park evil? Or is it just confused and lost?
Friday night, a New Mexico cop tries to bust a guy in a truck, but watch what happens. Police say they were trying to pull over Jaime Sandante for a traffic stop, but apparently stopping wasn't on his agenda.
I just got hit.
According to the arrest warrant, Sandante treated a Sunland Park police officer more like a speed bump when he backs up, then runs over the officer, 29-year-old Lieutenant Arturo Holguin.
I just got hit.
The lieutenant was able to make it to his patrol car and radio for help, telling his colleagues he could barely stand. But you can tell by his lapel video, this was terrifying. The lieutenant is okay. Police followed Sandante into El Paso, Texas, before putting the brakes on the pursuit, saying they didn't want anyone else to get hurt. Then the next day, they arrested Sandante at his house in Sunland Park. Now he's charged with attempted murder in the first degree and aggravated battery on a peace officer for this.
I just got hit.
Now police say Sandante was high on spray paint. We checked out his history on New Mexico courts. He has a DWI conviction, then another conviction of driving on a revoked license. Last summer, he was just arrested for aggravated battery on a household member. Back to you.
Shameful. I don't know how many more times they could play that guy screaming, "I just got hit." But it was, by my count, 5. But aren't police officers not supposed to panic during emergencies? But maybe getting a run over is beyond the pale. All right, so a state's Gang Force says the amount of gang activity in New Mexico, according to corrections officials anyway, is absolutely overwhelming. And all right, so I might save that. So anyway, what should you do if you have a case, you don't have legal representation? Well, sometimes attorneys do offer pro bono. But if you're going to try to get pro bono, in other words, free representation from an attorney, I would suggest to tell them up front. And there are some people who will call you and say, I'm looking for a free attorney, which is not necessarily the thing that an attorney wants to hear when he picks up the phone. But you can get help. Sometimes there is legal aid down in the city, which is seems fairly competent, but they can't take every case, of course. So in terms of hiring a paralegal, I would be very cautious to do that, since a paralegal doesn't have a law degree, and that could be practicing law without a license, which is not legal, really. Although I guess you could get in a help with putting papers together, but I would think that if you've got a case, what I would do is I'd call up an attorney and I'd, you know, ask for a consultation. I would tell them about the case, but I'd also let them know I only have $500 or I only have $300 or whatever. Most people have a little bit of money set aside for emergencies. Going to court is usually considered to be an emergency for people. And so I would, you know, hire an attorney or take out a loan. What a lot of people do, especially with family law cases, is they get the family to pitch in. And bearing in mind that the outcome of the case is going to affect your entire life, it's good to retain an attorney for a lot of this stuff. So, but apparently, and I did help, I, as she mentioned, I did help her. I did do a little pro bono work for her before, but that was in the last place that she lived. And anyway, poor Deborah. She seems to encounter a lot of life struggles, such as pooches in supermarket carts that are shedding hair and coughing up phlegm and defecating in the stores. And so she has to go and pull out the health code she carries in her pocket and to confront the managers. But anyway, 6:59, Kelly O'Connell Show. Thanks for tuning in the first hour. And I don't know if any of the candidates, the mayoral candidates, are coming in today, but hopefully Ken Miyagashima is out in his car flossing or having a cigarette waiting to come in. You're listening to AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450, and we'll be back on the break of the hour. I will dig into Hillary's emails if I'm not overrun with mayoral candidates. Kelly here. And we had a little bit of stuff about Hillary that I was going to mention to you. If all things being equal, I don't see any mayoral candidates here. So I've kind of tried to put different days aside for people. I'm trying to get, and if anybody knows candidates that haven't been on the show, I'd like, especially Ken Miyagashima. I have, my goal is to try to get every single person who's running to come on, and at least one time, so that they can give their spiel, give their argument, give their elevator speech, whatever you want to call it, their campaign statement, so that you can get a feel for them. And then there's an opportunity to call in, and if you have any particular questions. Now, I do have a bone to pick with Eli Guzman, because he told me he was going to be here a week ago. I don't mind if you cancel, but why not call me, text me, you know? I mean, and probably it was his, all of these people have campaign advisors. Don't go on the show. You won't be treated fairly. His audience is radical, blah, 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 whatever the argument is. This is the one place in town where at a moment's notice, I can bring anybody on who's got something important to say. And we can, you know, I mean, I think it's a pretty low key show. If you're trying to avoid the conservatives or maybe the GOP in town, 35% of the vote, I think it's a mistake, especially in a split race. I've been trying to get a hold of Gandara, by the way, Cassandra Gandara, if anybody has. Anyway, the upshot, if you know anybody who's running for office and they haven't been on the show, text me their number or ask them to call me, and I'll put them on as soon as I can, because I think that it's important. Our city, if you haven't noticed it, is struggling. We are not doing well financially. You know, the last time the mayor was on the show, all joking aside, he took it in the shorts. There was a lot of angry phone calls. Now, so a lot of, you know, people have pointed out the mayoral position in this town is a figurehead. The real mover and shaker is the city manager. That's our form of government. That may be true, but the mayor is still seen in a lot of people's minds as a formative individual, you know, and obviously the mayor has a lot of influence, and he should come on this show and explain to the people, maybe the people that are the most skeptical, the business community and the conservatives, the religious, you know, Christians and what have you. You know, there's a lot of, let's face it, there's a lot of conservative Democrats in this town. Explain to these people why you deserve another term. It doesn't seem like it's been a great 8 years. And like I say, maybe to the extent that it hasn't been, it's been Robert Garza's fault. Robert, he's never been on the show, but he's more than welcome to come on. But a lot of these people will hold themselves out as being kind of above criticism, which makes no sense to me. We have, by definition, in America, we have representative government. The government that we elect is supposed to represent us, not just in how they look and background, but what they believe and what they advocate for. One of the real failures in American policy and public policy in American politics of, say, the last 50 years is that the people that are elected are working on some elitist agenda. The people in the far left are certainly doing that, but increasingly, I think members of the GOP at a national level are working on some sort of, you know, deals that the details of which cannot be shared with the public. That's bad. That's bad foundation for public policy. It means that they feel like they're doing things that are either legally suspicious or that will not have broad support. And what these people want to do, ultimately, the goal of a lot of these people, these elites, whether they're on the right or the left, or maybe I think a lot of these people are agnostic. They don't believe in anything other than power and money, but they're trying to change public opinion by getting people to live in a changed system, and then that they'll change their ideas. So in other words, they think of Americans as ignorant, as stubborn, and as ultimately coachable or leadable in the same way that a rat can be trained, to go hit a bar and get a little pellet of food or a drink of water. I think there's a much better way to do stuff, but we've got to revive our ideas about education. We undoubtedly need a religious revival in this country, but we need a political revival. We need to come in and clean out the stables, get all the manure out, and start over. It is absolutely terrible to see some of the stuff that's going on, and to see person after person being elected to represent people, and then go to Washington and forget, act like they've never heard of their constituents, that they don't, you know. It is a terrible, terrible thing. Now, this is, I think, a time in our city where, and I want to ask one more time, the people that haven't come on the show, come on the show. I'll give you as much room as you want to explain yourself. I'll try not to make too much fun of you, but I do think that we need to get a change in the city. I know Miguel is promising that. What we also need to do is we need to get more people involved in the process. It shouldn't just be Don Kurtz, who I just recently invited on the show, who told me how I interpreted his reaction. Under no circumstances would he ever come on the show. He's too busy choosing winners and losers, I guess. But we need to change things here. And how we do that, ultimately, what do I suggest? I think more people getting involved in the system means the system is more purified. There's more eyes on the process. There's more people with skin in the game. And I think it's terrible that the GOP, which I'm going to say again, has never bothered to contact me in 4 years, can't even run candidates. That's just so ridiculous. Anyway, we've got a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Good morning, Kelly. This is Sergio again.
Sergio, what's up?
I've been listening to your program for a good while, and of late I've noticed that everything is starting to come to light about the problems and the corruption in this city. And what's most distressing and disturbing to me is that, Doñana and Las Cruces City of have potential, but there's something that's insidious that's not being revealed. Everybody has a sense of it. I'm sorry, go ahead.
What is it that you're having a sense of that people are feeling?
Well, they're feeling a sense of hopelessness, And the reason I say that is there doesn't seem to be much enthusiasm about the problems that, you're talking about and some of your guests have talked about. I don't know what it is, Kelly.
Well, I'll tell you this. I think it's a mistake. And I'm only mentioning this because I feel like, number one, it's got to be said. Number two, I think the mayor is going to avoid the show and blame it on me because I made a few sumo wrestling jokes. But, I think the upshot is that in the same way that Obama got into office and pretended that he knew everything from day one and put himself up above everything else, I think the mayor, I've heard so many people say he's condescending, he's arrogant, he's condescending. What are the achievements of let's just say a person in some circumstances has the right to be condescending or arrogant. I would assume if they did, it would be earned. What has the mayor done to earn the right to look down and poo-poo critics? What has been achieved since he's been in office?
I haven't seen anything. I know there's people who lived here all their lives. If they cannot see this the stagnant city, they're either they're in bliss or they're just They're in denial.
Well,
period.
And you know, I remember when the Oregon Mountain was given away and the mayor was up to his neck involved in it and was advocating, was flying to Washington, and he was telling people everybody's behind the idea of giving the land away. A lot of people didn't even know about it, but those who did, to a large extent, were not in favor of it. And, you know, anytime you're giving stuff away, other people's stuff away, I got a problem with that. But for the mayor to not focus on the business of the city, by definition, the land that was given away wasn't even in the city. By definition, he had no say as to whether that land was given away. He got involved as a cheerleader. Why doesn't he cheerlead for the city instead of arguing whether another city has the right to drop chili? Why doesn't he do something to make this city more attractive, to bring in more business and help cut taxes, help cut red tape? I disagree with people who present themselves as above criticism, because anything wrong was done by his predecessor or is out of their control. It would be silly to criticize him for failures in the city because they're outside of his control. But anything that good that happens, he's the father of it. I think that is the very description of failed leadership.
Exactly. I think what's going on now is that he probably, this is my own opinion. I think he doesn't want to go on your show because things are starting to become, you know, there's a revelation coming on. There's people are starting to see it, and the lack of the forward motion that would make this city what it should be. I'm not going to talk about how it is because, you know, the city is in bad shape. It's stagnant. It's dead in the water.
Has anybody ever heard the mayor say one thing about the empty buildings? There's commercial property all over the city. It's like this is France after Germany took over. It's like, you know, people just shut down their shops and moved out of town. People that own the buildings, they're paying their mortgage on their own, or they have property that's not bringing in any income, but they're paying property taxes. Number one. Number two, we're missing out on businesses. All of those places should have a business in them. And it doesn't seem like the mayor or the city council even cares. They're so caught up. They're so pleased with themselves.
Well, that's another thing, you know, that you just brought up that I really hadn't thought about, because I don't ponder it that much. I'm busy going to work, coming home, going to work, you know. But what you brought up is a very, you know, it's an excellent point. These people are paying, you know, what do you call it, tax dollars and, you know, mortgage or whatever, you know, taxes on it. And there doesn't seem to be anything by, you know, our mayor to address that problem.
Well, there's nothing. Sometimes I drive down the street and I get caught at a light. There's a couple of lights where you sit forever and there's no cross traffic, like Mesquite and Loman. And I'm thinking the mayor, obviously, it's a small town. He obviously comes down the street or up the street. Why doesn't he do something about this? I mean, if he's so enthusiastic about what a great job he's done, in other words, how influential he is, in other words, how his will becomes reality and it makes the city better, why doesn't he do one thing, like fix a light? You know, you might say, well, I don't have anything to do with fixing lights. Well, don't you have any influence, or a mayor? Don't you have any influence to call up this, you know? I mean, are you just a figurehead? If you're just a figurehead, could we at least get a new figurehead, you know, just to avoid boredom?
Right. Well, I think you're absolutely right, and I hope more people start to realize that, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that is failed leadership, unequivocally, without question.
Of course it is. Of course it is. And then the mayor gets thin skin about people criticizing him. But I mean, you know, it's like my heart aches for this city, for the unemployed, the underemployed, because I think, you know, the empty buildings and all this it doesn't have to be this way. That's the main thing.
No.
I've got another call. Thanks for the call. Thanks for the call to Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Kelly, the horror of it all.
What's up, Mike? Please have a statement of.
I think we got to send you in to take Kurtz out.
All right, Mike. Anything else?
It's apocalypse now.
All right. Thanks for the call. All right. We'll take a break here. But it's not about the mayor. It's not about me. It's not about anybody's name or position. It's about fixing the city. You know, whoever. whoever comes along and can do it. I mean, the mayor's nobody. I'm nobody. Nobody in this city is anyone until they're helping out other people and trying to fix problems. Just the fact that there's all these empty buildings, you don't have to raise the taxes. All you have to do is encourage people to open businesses, and there'd be so much more tax income. I mean, doesn't that alone get anybody's attention? All right, Kelly O'Connell here. We'll take a break. 722-523-1450 to call in. Oh, we do have one more call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show.
Kelly, it's Ralph. Did you hear about the 3-star rating that the city of Las Cruces was awarded here? Oh, it came out all day long on the news.
Was it for hygiene or what?
No, it's awarded. It's the only time that a city in the state of New Mexico has been awarded that. And only 40 in all the United States have been awarded that since they started.
Is it good or bad?
It's a 3-star, and only 4 cities in all the United States have ever got a 5-star. So
is it good or bad? Help us out here. What does it stand for?
I mean, it's really a high rating for the city of Las Cruces.
Well, listen.
Would you look into that?
Here's my thing. I don't care if the mayor is arrogant or talks down to people. I personally find that to be a sign of empty. The people that I've known are either spectacularly successful, and therefore they're arrogant because they've in this battle of life, they've risen to the top, or they're empty. And I don't see if the mayor wants the right and the privilege to talk down to people, look down at people, scoff at anyone who criticizes him, could he at least achieve something so it makes sense? Anyway, thanks for the call. And I got Miguel Silva here. And speaking of change, we'll be right back.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today.
Hey, it's Kelly here, and we got Miguel. And had to step away for a second there. Anyway, Miguel, how's it going? I don't know if you heard my, I guess, a little bit tough on the mayor.
I was sitting out in the lobby waiting for that first part of your show to finish and still step in. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Now, I just to reiterate some stuff that happened, I had made fun of the mayor through what at the time seemed like a funny joke to compare him to a sumo wrestler. And then later it was revealed that that was insensitive and a dumb joke. And I apologize. But I find it notable that the people who are listening to the show mm-hmm. want the mayor to come on and talk to them and have some back and forth. And he, who is supposed to be representing the whole city, absolutely stone silence, maybe a cricket in the background chirping. But what the day that he gets made fun of, immediately gets on the horn and complains to my superiors about it. And that has nothing to do with me apologizing. My friend Six sent me a text and said, anybody can make that kind of a joke. It's a cheap shot. So I'm like, you know what? That's true. I want to be a cheap shot artist, and I don't see myself that way. But I guess somewhat frustrated that the mayor of this city doesn't want to talk to the people that live here and feels that he's above it and feels that there's another group of people that he represents that he cares about, that he's in communication with, and that's all that matters. I'm offended by that. That my listeners are as good as any other people in the city, and they've got every right to talk to their own mayor, and he just blows it off, you know?
Well, I know. I'm sure there's a lot of background there, Kelly, there's a lot of background there. I'll just say, Kelly, that was one of the reasons that motivated me to run, is because what I've seen these past 8 years being in office is, yes, Ken has a tendency to just listen to a particular sector in this community. And that has bothered me, because that's not very representative of what a legislative body or a council should should be. We should be listening to all sides, to both sides, and to all residents. And so, yeah, that's something that has, as I mentioned, that's what motivated me to run, was that Ken was just listening to just a very small sector of this community.
You've talked to me. One of the things that excited me is you told me that you had a vision, and I started thinking about, you know, anytime a person who's running for office uses the term vision, that your ears perk up a little bit, because people begin to fill in how the city could improve and what it could look like in 5 or 10 years. And that kind of excited me. I know I'm still a little skeptical, of course, because I'm a natural skeptic, but I do want to hear more about the vision, and I want to hear what you think we have the potential to do here.
Well, you know, Kelly, when we talk about vision, it's not just Miguel's vision. It's building a community vision. And that's really what I'm trying to work towards and stress, that we come together with a community vision. And that community vision is going to be one base where you have to listen to everyone and bring everyone to the table to create that community vision. If you look at our history, and that's one of the things that I have been talking on my campaign about, my campaign trail, talking to the persons. When you talk about preserving, and this is always big when you go through campaigns, preserving our culture, preserving our history. The Mesilla Valley was built on this culture of innovation. And I really feel that we need to move and we need to reach back into our history and build a vision based on innovation in how we think about how we do business, government, how government interacts with the public, education, how we do our streets and roads, whether or not torn up every 10 or 15 years. So I think an innovative approach is really how we're going to go about creating a new vision for the Mesilla Valley.
Okay. I mean, I'm excited to hear that. What I want to hear, too, is that the business people are included in this, because, you know, sometimes you're talking, I'm talking on the air and I'm in a studio. It's almost like I'm talking to myself, but I'm kind of thinking out loud. Of course, I'm having a conversation with everybody who's listening, and sometimes they call in to confirm that. But I think about, we raise the taxes because we could, but what if we had made it our goal over the last 10 years to get a business in every single one of these empty buildings? Would we need to raise taxes?
Well, I don't. Raising taxes definitely puts an obstacle in front of businesses coming to
Lustre's. Miguel, if you had businesses in all those empty shops, wouldn't there be a lot more?
Yes, I agree with that.
Why didn't the mayor and the leaders of the city, including the county commission, why didn't they make that their goal? I don't get it, because I know that there's a lot of families of limited means that own property out there that would just love to have someone in their space. Maybe they have a 500 square foot place that hasn't had anybody in it for 3 years, and it's breaking their heart because they were going to use that income to send their kids to school.
Right. And I think, Kelly, that's something that we really need to go out and explore as well, is why I know that the downtown Las Cruces, in trying to fill a lot of the empty buildings and so forth, it has been challenging of talking with landlords and so forth in regards to.
But this is over the whole city.
Yeah,
this is
I understand.
Over the whole city. Let's come back and talk about part of the vision of some of these properties, because I want to hear. I am dying to hear someone lead us, Miguel. I'm dying for that. Folks, we'll be right back. 7:34. Kelly O'Connor Show, 523-1450. We're pleased and lucky to have Miguel Silva in the studio today. Even if the mayor stands us up, we still got quality. We'll be right back.
I want to be part of it. New York, New York. These vagabond shoes are longing for spring.
Hey, it's Kelly. It's Kelly?
Oh, this is Jerry.
Jerry, what's going on, man? We're on a break, but
I'm on the other line.
You're on what other line?
I'm calling in.
Well, fantastic.
Kelly O'Connor.
What are we going to talk about today?
Oh, I just thought I'd kind of update you on that sustainability award the city received.
Okay, so
don't know about it?
Jerry, we're not on the air. Can I put you on hold and then we'll talk about it?
Sure, yeah.
Okay, thanks. So don't hang up.
Hmm.
Hey, it's Kelly.
Yeah, it's Deborah. I wasn't able to listen to the whole broadcast. Did anybody call with any advice at all?
No.
Nobody.
Well, one guy called in up and advised getting a tent.
Yeah, I don't know. I couldn't survive in a tent.
Oh, okay.
I must look. No, I remember I was in front of Jewel before with because I rented off of David Butatis, the treasurer of Donnanna County. And and I think he remembered that.
Well, he might have.
They scratch each other's back. Pardon me?
I got to go. Thanks. Good luck.
I already referenced.
On KOBE, there's no better place to be.
Folks, it's another exciting show. I need to go get my heart. My heart to check. There's too much excitement. We got Jerry. You've got a comment about sustainability. Go ahead.
Yeah, I can't believe you guys didn't hear about this. Newspaper's been loaded with it. The city received a sustainability award, but I don't know the full details of it.
What are we sustaining? We're sustaining a lack of economic growth. But what else is there?
Well, the sustainability thing, the one part I got out of it, that the Las Cruces' ability to retain businesses. That's the one thing I got out of it. I better say anything about supporting business. Yeah, go ahead.
No, Jerry, why am I the only one who's talking about this on a daily basis? I drive down the street every day and I'm counting empty businesses and I'm thinking,
is there a plague here? I'm on your side. And I told Miguel the other night at the show we were at to keep on the promoting business routine.
Thank you, Jerry. I really appreciate that.
Now,
okay. Let me comment briefly about that. What it was, it's what they call a star community rating system. This is something that staff – this is something to rate our community. Basically, it's a community rating system. And there were seven different categories. And the city applied for it, and basically it said that we were at a three-star system. And when it just didn't really reveal a whole lot. It just said this is where we are at as a community. And in other words, it set a baseline of where we're at and where we can be. You were talking about that economic development part. And when I was reading the study and reading some of the results, a community, they apply for X amount of points the economic development. I'm just going to give an example, and I don't know the exact numbers, but let's say there's 100 points total. We applied for 80, but we only attained maybe like 20, meaning there are 60 points that we did not receive. So it does rate us, and it shows where we have levels of improvement. And so it's just a rating system to just set a baseline of where we're at right now.
Yeah. Well, I tell you, I was amused at the one about the ability to keep and retain businesses that we had. It didn't say anything about businesses we're losing.
Right. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well,
thank you.
We've been able to sustain a couple of Walmarts here.
Well, you know, and it was an interesting – I welcome all types of community rating systems because it does show us where we are at as a community. But again, it was a confusing one, or I guess a misleading one. For example, it talked about noise pollution, and we got points because we have a noise pollution ordinance. But it didn't say anything about were we enforcing that ordinance or taking other steps.
And there needs to be an exception for mariachi music.
There you go. Maybe we should have added extra points for that one.
Cultural sensitivity is important.
But that's what we were looking at. So it was just a basic star community rating system of saying of setting a baseline of where we are at today.
It sounds bogus to me. I hate to use the B word. But,
well, it was brought up at one of the forums, the timing and the release of this report
by a Miyagashima plant, undoubtedly.
Well, right, we
got another call here. Thanks for the call. All right,
I'll give the voters and the people that have attending, I give our voters credit that they are smart voters. We have a smart community. They were able to sift through it and say,
totally bogus, in other words. All right, we got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly Connor Show.
Hey, Kelly, this is Gina Ortega. How are you?
Gina, what's going on? You're supposed to be in the studio.
I didn't realize you were supposed to be there today. I apologize.
Well, if you,
but I just wanted to, I'm sorry.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, if you give me a donut, I'll forget about it.
No, that's what a politician would do.
Oh, my gosh. Getting out even the tiniest. All right, whatever. All right, okay, go ahead.
Hey, really, really quick on that STAR report. It was brought up, too, that the city of Las Cruces paid $7,500 for that, but that didn't come out. And you can go on to their and check it out. But, yeah, it cost the city of Las Cruces, basically, the way that I look at that, it's kind of like turning in a paper at your university level, and instead of your professor grading it, it's your mother grading it.
Oh, my gosh. Where is Ken Miyagashima's mother anyway? I hope she's not on this committee.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but, yeah, that's our report. I mean, it's something that, yeah, shows what great position the city's in, but we paid for it.
And as mentioned, the timing of it is something that did come out on it, and I think I give our voters, I give them due credit that they saw that what they saw this report for what it was. It was something to, it was a promotion.
Well, Gina, thanks for the call, and you're welcome back next Friday.
Okay, you got it, Kelly.
All
thanks.
Right, bye-bye. All right, folks, we're going to be right back. 7:43, got to Miguel here, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOB, Kelly O'Connell, 523, 1450. Everybody is welcome on this show, even Mayor Ken. And Mayor Ken, you're interested enough in the show to fight back against vicious comedy, but you can't show up and talk to your own people. Isn't that a little bit, isn't that just a little bit sad? 7:44, 523, 1450. We'll be right back.
Right through the very heart of it, New York, New York.
All right, folks, running short on time here. So I got this news article. Puppet master controls local Democratic Party. Liberals everywhere claim that there is a political puppet master that controls conservative politics. They often proclaim that the Koch brothers, assisted by the evil oil and gas lobby, control the conservative political process from the national down to the state and local levels. Never will you hear liberals admit or acknowledge that there are liberal puppet masters. And I believe he goes on to say, there is a liberal puppet master here in southern New Mexico, Don Kurtz. I, by coincidence, called him up when the Tea Party was coming on to fight for their right to have a forum, and he politely but quite vehemently declined. Don Kurtz, come on the show. Let's have a debate, buddy. Come on, you and I. Mano a mano, one-on-one. Come on, please, Don Kurtz. Tell me what you believe in. Who are your influences? Was it Karl Marx, or is that just ridiculous? Was it someone a little bit more subtle? Let's have a debate. I think it would be great for the local political process. Okay, Miguel, go ahead.
Well, it's, you know, I read that article of Mr. Harbinson and found it interesting about, you know, Mr. Kurtz has been called that puppeteer before. That's a title that's been out there. At one point, he had what? And that was one of the challenges that I had as being a city councilor. I, for the 8 years, for a majority of it, I've been on the minority because of a lot of the Kurtz elected officials. I think he had, what, 3 to 4 county commissioners.
In his pocket.
Well, that's one way to look at it.
But, who are some of the pocket politicians of Kurtz? Who are some of the people that he raised up?
Well, you had... obviously, there was the mayor.
Mayor Ken is a pocket puppet. Go ahead.
Mayor, you had Ms. Sharon Thomas. You had Sharon Councilor Thomas. Small. You had
Nathan, please don't call me Tiny Small, was a pocket puppet.
Olga Pedroza.
Olga is she who worships Fidel Castro, according to legend. He's got
I
pocket,
have no idea.
Pocket puppets. Are you a Don Kurtz pocket puppet? Come up for air and just stay out of his pocket, folks.
You know, you had on the commission side. You know, you had Mr. Garrett, the Commissioner Garrett. You had Wayne Hancock.
Wayne Hancock, who was transferred here from a wasn't it a TBI, traumatic brain injury site in Florida to come out here and run things?
I don't know. But when you had, you know, he had major influence on a lot of these persons at the local. And then he had state representatives and senators as well. And with, you know, Mr. With the mayor, with my friend Ken, you know, Ken's had him on his payroll for the past 4 years. And that
to do what?
I have no idea. If you look at Ken's campaign reports, he had Ken on his payroll. So
for what?
Obviously, no idea. Only Ken can answer that question, so you can call him back onto your show and ask him.
He can't answer the question because he refuses to come on here, although he is deeply offended when jokes are made about him, but he's not actually going to show up.
Yeah, and so when you look at some of the votes that have happened and some of the things that have come across, yes, Don Kurtz has had major influence over these persons as they have voted. I mean, and that's why I've seen it. That's what motivated me to run again.
So in
because
other words,
there was such a small voice being listened to, you know?
In other words, Don Kurtz is the most important person in this city.
Well, he definitely has had influence on a lot of on local politics.
Why, though? I mean, anybody can get involved in politics, but what is so special about him? And we do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call of the Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this? Hopefully Don Kurtz.
Good morning, Kelly. Good morning, Miguel. This is Art. Let me turn my radio off.
Thanks, man. Go ahead.
You know, the way I see these guys, like Mr. Kurtz, Nathan Small, all these people that have moved in here, these progressives, they're like the people back in the 80s, you know, the smartest guys in the room that were manipulating Wall Street and playing with all this paper and ripping people off.
Yes.
This is the new wave of the smartest kids in the room. Only they're the second smartest kids in the room. They weren't smart enough to make it in the real world.
So they came here.
So they get into government where there's a whole lot more money to play with and a whole lot more power and control. And they want to control our lives. They want to fashion a utopia for us, a future that they think they have a better idea than we ourselves have. And I like what Miguel said about trusting the taxpayer. The state should be a ship with a million rudders, millions of rudders, every individual.
Yes.
With his liberty guiding it, not these smart kids in the room.
Ideology.
Hanging onto the rudder and dragging us all where they want
to
go.
Dragging us to the gates of hell so we go over the falls. Thanks for the call. Great call. We have another call.
Thank you, Art.
Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connor Show. Who's this?
Jerry. Hi, Kelly. Hey, I find it strange that the mayor is not willing to go on, but yet he'll use your website for the KEOB 1450 to advertise for campaign.
Well, here, listen to this. He called my boss and demanded the tape from the show. I mean, is he trying to like bully me or anything? Because trust me, the mayor doesn't doesn't have that ability. I find it pathetic that he complains about getting teased, but he can't come on and do his function, which is to represent and communicate with the people.
Yes, I sent you an email, Kelly, and you need to look at that.
Okay, all right.
And it's a high item that would definitely light up your switchboards.
Okay, thank you very much, folks. I got to take a break right now. We'll come back and finish up with McGill's concluding. Well, one more call. Thanks. All right, we'll be right back, folks. We'll have Miguel. We're running out of time. We'll have Miguel's concluding thoughts.
Magic 105 is proud to sponsor.
On KOBE.
It's Kelly, and we have a couple of calls. Let me put you on hold. I'll be right back. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connor Show. We have a brief amount of time. Who's this?
I would suggest you most strongly apologize to Mayor Ken for calling him such a childish term.
I already
did.
You
know, then maybe he'll come on your program.
I already did it. There's been no response from him. He doesn't want to come on the show. I had already told him any day that I'm on the air, you're welcome to come on. I will cancel anything else to have you on. And he never got back to me. And then I said on the air, I was sorry. And then but right before that, I said, anytime, any day, I'll cancel anything else to have you on, Mayor. It's real important. And he says, I'll get back to you. He's not interested in coming on the show. And it has nothing to do with being called the world's champion sumo wrestler.
Well, that's unfortunate then, you know, gee whiz, that's fine. Well, maybe, I mean, just reach out. That's not right. You know, I mean, yeah, you shouldn't have called them childish conservative type names, but then again, maybe he'll have a secondary thought process and step up to the plate, but I would be very careful not to insult them on the radio.
All right. Ken, I am symbolically bowing down and apologizing. Miguel, okay, go ahead.
Well, you can't do any more than that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's true. Thanks for the call. Thanks. All right, we got another call. Thanks for the call. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is David.
Briefly.
The mere fact that the king will not come on the show
yeah.
means that we should only vote for Gina or Miguel.
I agree. I'm sorry to say that, but I agree. Thanks. All right, Miguel, we got 1 minute here. Go ahead.
No, I think in regards to representing the city, you talk about the type of mayor we have. We can have just a charter mayor, a mayor who's just going to do what's in the charter, setting the agenda, doing just the regular perfunctionary things, or a mayor that's going to rise above that and be an advocate and promoter of the city in terms of economic development, infrastructure, and how
Miguel,
forward.
If you get into office, will you grow this economy? Will you fight for it?
That's going to be job number one as soon as I get in the office. And next day, wake up 8 a.m. and I'll be there. And that's what I will be fighting for, is creating jobs and turning around our economy.
And that's part of your vision.
That's day one. Next day, I wake up.
That's the centerpiece of your vision. How about this? We grow the economy so much that we can lower taxes.
That would be a goal. That would be what we want to try to accomplish.
I'm asking for everybody who runs for office in this county, in this city, to pledge to cut taxes. And I know that Miguel has already said that he wants to do that.
Well, I was the only one that voted against the GRT tax when it came forward. So,
Miguel's the only fiscal conservative in city government. That's just shocking. Thanks for coming on, Miguel. And any last thoughts?
No. Everyone have a great day and a great weekend. And go early vote. Vote Miguel for mayor.
Miguel, I have apologized profusely. Come on this show. I will back away from the microphone. I will let you do your own talking and own interpretation. 7:59. Thanks for listening. And Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450. KOBE. Have a wonderful weekend. Ciao.
That doesn't sleep and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are melting away. I'll make a brand new start of it in old New York.